world do we think we are. And that is so true. Can I tell you something? We don't deserve it tonight. But I will tell you, I appreciate grace and mercy, don't you? I could have been born somewhere in a foreign country, never heard the gospel. And I appreciate the grace of God. I really do appreciate missions tonight. And my heart has been touched and my heart's been moved by these two missionaries tonight. And also the one we Skyped tonight. I enjoyed that. And I sat down thinking while our brother was giving the update and also giving the report there on going to Wales. I've been in that part of the world a time or two, and England, Scotland especially. And he's telling the truth. There is church after church after church that's boarded up.
Yep.
You know what they are tonight? They're carpet stores. They're furniture stores. And man alive, that touches my heart to think what they one time had and where they're at tonight. And I preach out of the book of Lamentations every once in a while. Mine eye affecteth my heart. And I have pictures of those churches that I show when I preach that. And I appreciate your burden tonight. Then, brother, God bless you. Man alive, God bless you. If that didn't touch you, you can't be touched. And that was great tonight. I enjoyed that. And I've also enjoyed the whole day. It's been a good day. And I've enjoyed being here and being with you here. And what a joy it is to be here and be in the service tonight. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter number 5. And I want to say this while you're turning tonight. And I'll say much about it Sunday. And I'm thinking about going home raising my faith promise. I mean that. I'm telling you, God challenged my heart this week. And man, I'm telling you, it's been great. And when you invest in a soul, you're investing for something for eternity. That's right. Amen. And I heard a guy that works for Edward Jones not long ago talk about how high the stock market is and what's getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to split. And he's talking about that. I'm glad I can lay treasures up where they never split, where thieves won't break through and steal, where rust won't rust it out, and investing in souls for the glory of God. And I appreciate that tonight. I sure do. I want to say a word about faith promise, and I'll say much about it Sunday morning during Sunday school. Am I doing Sunday school Sunday? All right, so anyhow, you may have some new people here tonight, and I take for granted that everybody knows about faith promise, and I'm going to give you an illustration of it tonight. But faith promise tonight is a wonderful thing. 1979, I had the opportunity to start a church in the mountains of North Carolina, and during them days, I became a missionary of BIMI. BIMI supported me financially. The board supported me financially and helped me get that church off the ground. Brother John Bales, I don't know if you know Brother Bales or not. He's recently retired. And we got that church going, and God bless it. And by the way, I went back last year and preached our 40th anniversary. How about that? And they're doing great. But anyhow, after we got that church started, Brother Bales said to me, "Now, we need to start Faith Promise." Well, I knew a little bit, but I didn't know what he was talking about. I knew my dad gave to missions, but I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, "Brother, that sounds like a wonderful idea. What is it?" And so he introduced our church, Faith Promise. And from that day to this present time, my wife and I, every week, God has given through my wife and I, not to us, but through us. And it's absolutely amazing how God meets that need. I like Brother Blue's card. I like this card here also. And I like them both. Independence upon God. You'd preach on faith promise all day, but that's what it means. Independence among God, I would endeavor to give each week to the worldwide mission work of the Ridgeview Baptist Church in the amount of. And, of course, we'll talk more about that Sunday. And I'll just say this about faith promise. You don't give faith promise when you tithe. Tithing is a concrete doctrine that's never been changed. It's the same. Tithing is where the babies get in at. That's the starting point. That's already his. You don't do God a favor when you tithe. I'm preaching good. You better loosen up. I'll preach on it if you don't. You don't do God a favor. It's already his. And I'll say, if you're here tonight and you're a member of the church and you've not been given the faith promise, I want to say, first of all, you need tithe. I wish I could get a witness. That's the starting point. And faith promise tonight is not, it's not a lot of things. I hear people talk about, have preachers tell me quite often, you know, that pledge that we do every week. Faith promise is not a pledge.
Amen.
No, it's not a pledge. Well, you know that thing, that vow that we made. Faith promise is not a vow. Faith promise is not a pledge. Faith promise is a commitment that God puts in your heart.
Yes,
above your tithe and above all the other offerings. And that's the reason I gave these out on Wednesday night. By the way, anybody come to church here and you don't have a faith promise card? If you come to this church and you don't have one of these, raise your hand. Now, don't lie. All right. Everybody got one? All right. And go back there and give that guy one on the back row. He's looking crazy at me. Make him give double. But anyhow, it's not a pledge. It's not a vow. But it's that commitment that God puts in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, or chapter 9, verse number 9 and 10. I'll deal with that Sunday morning. That commitment, and I'll say to you here, and you're newly not given the faith promise. It's not something that you decide to do. It's not that you sit down and take a calculator and try to figure out how to do it, because you can't figure it out. There's absolutely no way to figure that out. And I cannot tell you, I cannot begin to tell you the blessings. And I'll just say this tonight, and I'll say it before I get done preaching tonight. If God never blessed me one ounce for giving a faith promise, I'd still give a faith promise. My motivation for giving a faith promise is not the blessings of God. My faith promise given the missions tonight is reaching a world with the gospel. And that's right. Are you listening to me? And I know sometimes, and I guess I'm guilty of it myself, of talking about the other side of that, how if we'll give a faith promise, what God will do. And He will. But that's not the reason we give. So I'll say to you tonight, if you're not being given, if you're newly getting introduced to it tonight, remember this, it's above the tithe, it's above the building fund, it's above all the other offerings. And while you're praying this week, I really hope you'll pray. I mean that tonight. I mean that. Let me tell you something about faith promise now, and I'll say more about it in just a minute. It's not about money to start with. It's about your relationship to God. God teaching you how to live by faith. And so I want to say to you tonight, I hope you're really praying. Sunday is coming. Amen. Sunday's coming. And I'll tell you something tonight. I can't make you give. The preacher can't make you give. Are you listening? That's not my job. I know on Sunday morning, when those faith promise cards were turned in where I preach mission conferences, Brother Crunch, I do get butterflies sometimes. But I'll tell you something, that's not my job. My job is to deliver the Word of God. It's what you do with, it's up to you. And so I'm really praying. I don't know what the goal was this past year. I know you exceeded it, went far beyond it. But I'm praying that God will help you again this year. And there's more people lost now than there was last year. If you're ever going to give the faith promise, you better get with it tonight. And I want to give you an example of that tonight. Did I tell you where to turn? Luke chapter 6. If you've got a King James Bible, stand up. I'm a little bit offended at the preacher. I sat back there the other night, and they brought that back. It had all that good stuff in it, and buddy, I've been eating up on that stuff. But the guy across the aisle from me had his basket. His had three apples, mine had two. God's going to have to help me forgive him, but I believe He'll help me. I can never remember preaching mission conferences for 30 years. I can never remember going to a church at a mission conference and have to get there an hour early to get a parking place.
Amen.
It's not this way everywhere. I shouldn't have told you that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you, missionaries? Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1. Oh, it's good. Son, it ain't, but it's just now 10 minutes after 7, so I got a lot of time. That's in Alabama. And it came to pass in chapter 5, verse number 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, they hear the word of God. He stood by the lake Gennesaret, if I'm pronouncing that right. And that's one of the three words in the New Testament for Galilee. And I thought about this when I read it today. It came to pass, the Bible said here, that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Now that's got reversed in our day. If you preach it today, they'll press upon you, not because they want to hear it. Do I need to go any further with that? Look at verse 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Would y'all like for me to preach the way Jesus did? No, you don't. Y'all getting what I'm preaching? He sat down, they stood up. Notice the next verse. Bible said in verse number 4, now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto the partners which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. I'd have liked to have seen that. I never have had that kind of luck fishing. Notice the next verse. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes, how which they had taken. Verse number 10, and so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which was partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought the ship to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. I want to add one verse to that tonight, and it's found in Matthew chapter number 4, verse 19. Here's what it says. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Thank you for sending you and be seated tonight. I want you to keep your Bible open tonight. I want to walk back down through these verses with you this evening. And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on five lessons he taught those disciples how to be fishers of men. Now, I'm not going to go the way you think I'm probably going to go with that. But there's some lessons here that he taught those disciples tonight on how to be fishers of men. Look at verse 5 again. Bible said, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. I don't know about you, but I've had that blessing a time or two. fished all night long and caught nothing. And when I said this again today, I said to myself, by all rights, these men should have been catching fish. Well, y'all hear me? Hey, by all rights, they should have been catching fish. And how true that is tonight. And by the way, we're not keepers of the aquarium, we're fishers of men. Huh? Local and global. Fishers of men tonight. And by all rights, they should have been catching fish. Let me give you this way of introduction. First of all, they should have been catching fish in verse number 1. How? Because they're fishing at the right place. The Sea of Galilee is a good place to fish. It's 30 miles around the Sea of Galilee. You know how I know that? He just told me where I'll go. And 30 miles around the Sea of Galilee. And my dad went to Israel years ago. I've been to Europe many times. I've just never been down to Israel. And my dad was in Israel several years ago. He said, son, fishing is good in Galilee. And our brother back there told me the same thing a while ago. Hey, they should have been catching fish this evening because they're fishing in the right place. Number 2, they should have been catching fish because they're fishing at the right time. Look at verse number 5. Bible said in verse number 5, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled how long? Hey, they're fishing at the right time. What do you mean? Night time is the best time to fish. We got a fisherman in here. Night time's the best time to fish. Y'all got any crappie in Tennessee? Well, y'all have no crappie, do you? We're not Yankees. Are you listening? And night time is the best time to catch them. You can put those lights out around your boat. And that bait, some little fish will come up, and guess what happens? Hallelujah, glory to God, amen and amen again. Hey, you load your boat. So they're fishing at the right place. They're fishing at the right time. Third thing I thought about today when I said this, they're fishing with the right experience. You say, how do you know? Because Peter had graduated from fishing university with high degrees. He knew how to do it. That was his job. He knew how to do it. How he was fishing with the right experience. I said they should have been catching fish because they're fishing with the right equipment. And my brother told me just a minute ago, they still use nets, not zip code 33s. Huh? I remember zip codes 202s. Huh? You get a 10-pound catfish in one of them, son, he'd strip everything in it out. But they're fishing with the right equipment. They're fishing with nets. And may I say this to you tonight? I like what J. Vernon McGee said. He said, every pulpit across America ought to be a fishing boat. We throw out the bait. Hey, every Sunday school class ought to be a fishing boat. Every bus route ought to be a fishing boat. When you go to the store, it ought to be a fishing boat. Will you throw out the bait, thank God, and catch those men for the glory of God. I want to give you two or three lessons out of this tonight. And God taught those disciples. I said this again today, and I thought, my soul, we need that lesson in our day. And we're going to be fishers of men. How we need that lesson in our day. There's five areas he deals with in our life, and tonight I'll do them briefly. Look at verse 3. Bob said he entered in one of the ships, which was whose? Let's back up on that. He entered in one of those ships, whose was it?
Simon's.
I'll say, first of all tonight, he deals, now don't doubt me on this first point. Number one, he deals with their finances. You say, how did you get there? Well, let me ask you a question. Whose boat's this? What's Simon's job? How's he pay his bills? How's he buy his groceries? Huh? Hey, he dealt with his finances. And you know what he's saying about? Hey, Simon, you got something I need. Hey, Simon, you got something I'll use tonight. Oh boy, hear me tonight. A ministry that does not affect your giving is not much of a ministry. Alan Redpath said this, a religion that doesn't affect our giving is probably a religion that's in vain. And I'll say this to you now, God will use what you got. Now that ain't broke in on y'all yet. God will use what you got. He dealt with his finances tonight. And notice tonight who's asking this. The Lord Jesus is saying to Simon, the person that's asking. The person is Simon, the person is the Lord Jesus himself. He said, Simon, you got something I can use. If you'll allow me to have it, hey, I'll use what you got. Now when I leave here tonight, I'll go out in the car and I'll check my cell phone. And I doubt very seriously that President Donald Trump will be on there. I kind of doubt it. I wish he would call me. I won't tell him I've been praying a lot for him. So if you had to put up what he had to put up with, you say, I can't believe you said that. I said it and ain't taking it back. Are you hearing me? I doubt if he'll be on my phone. I have no idea who the governor of Tennessee is. But I doubt if he'll be on my phone. I wish the governor of North Carolina be on there. I have something I want to say to him. Abortion's still murder. I'm preaching good. Are y'all listening? Yes, they're not going to be on my phone tonight. But there's somebody. I got something that somebody needs tonight. Yes. It's not the president. It's not the governor. It's not the county thing here in this county. But the person himself says to Simon Peter, hey, Simon, you got something I need tonight. Do you realize who's asking this? The one that stepped out on his word and spoke worlds into existence. He wants to use you. Hey, I said he wants to use you. Mr. Trump don't know my phone number. I wish some of y'all call and give it to him. The governor of this town or this city or this state doesn't have my phone number. But I know who does have my phone number. I know who does know where I live. He knows all about me tonight. And thank God I got something he wants this evening. Now that might not do a thing for you. That's pretty big stuff, this mountain boy. To think that I have something that he'll use. Yeah, notice the person that's asking. But notice the purpose he's asking. He said, Simon, I want to sit down in your ship. And I want to give out the word of God out of that. And may I say to you tonight, as we give the missions and allow God through our life to give the missions, you know what's happening? He's going to Brazil. Yeah. He's going to Michigan. I can't remember. He's going to Wales. Where are you going? That's where he's going. He's going to Wales. Our brother there is going to Haiti. And listen to me now. God wants to use what you got to get that message out there. Not only the person that's asking, but the purpose. He said that I might sit down in your ship and preach. I'm glad, thank God, I can give the missions tonight. And through giving the missions tonight, thank God, he'll use what we give to get the gospel to those that are around the world. Oh, yes, sir, listen to me. Notice something else about this. He didn't only deal with their finances. And I'll say this again. He went straight to Peter's heart. He didn't beat around the bush. I'm telling you, he went straight to his heart. Hey, I want what your livelihood. Yeah, that was Peter's livelihood. Can I say something, not be ugly? I'm going to say it anyhow. The churches I pastored down through the years, and those that cussed and griped about faith promise, come to find out that bunch of turkeys didn't give a dime to missions. You say, preacher, you call them turkeys. That's pretty mild. Are you listening? They didn't give a dime to missions. I found out some stuff even in recent days. How some folk had cussed and growled. Let me tell you something tonight. Listen to me. You follow the man of God as God leads the man of God. And everything will be just fine. Amen. Some of these super duper spiritual people says, do you think I'm going to follow a man? Well, honey, if you follow God, you're going to follow a man. Are you listening to me? He's going to find out what God wants. I like it tonight. Are y'all hearing me? That's God's divine order for the church. I don't know how I'm preaching that. I'm just telling you this tonight. Oh, my soul. Listen to that. God will use what you got tonight. Notice the second thing. By the way, I love it. Ridge View Baptist Church. I doubt there's an outlet to this street. Does this street go all the way through somewhere else or stop? It circles around. 99% of the world will never know nothing about this church. But you know what God's doing through your church tonight? You allowed him to deal with your finances. You know what he's doing? He's touching the world through this church. Hallelujah, man. Oh, you're right, brother. You wait till we get home, friend. I want to tell you, thank God, when we ushered in at the Bema Seat of Christ and to come for every nation. Are you hearing me? Oh, yes, sir. By the way, your church service is not over on Sunday at 7:30. You say, well, they are. We go home. Yeah, but your services are not over. I'm sure y'all support somebody out here on the West Coast. And they're 3 hours behind us, and they're behind us in more ways than one. But anyhow, you don't know till the last service is over that missionary that you support. Has somebody get saved out there? That's fruit abounding to y'all's account. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You know what Philippians chapter 4 is? I got to get off this to get my message. But you know what Philippians 4 is? It ain't a thing in the world but a thank you letter from a missionary to a church tonight. And Paul said, it's not that I desire your money. I desire fruit that it might abound to your account, thank God. Notice the second thing. You don't know how many get saved after Monday. They're an extension of this church. They're going all over the world starting Ridgeview Baptist churches. Churches of like faith. I'm preaching good. Y'all looking at me strange. Notice the second thing. He didn't only deal with their finances. But notice in verse 4 and 5. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net. Lay down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. I'll say he didn't only deal with their finances. I'll say number two, he dealt with their following. Notice what he says here. Simon, you've been here long enough. Launch out. Oh boy. Launch out. Don't stay where you're at right now. Launch on out into the deep. Baptist folk and I are one. Independent. But Baptist folk has got so used to the shallow waters, when the man of God tries to lead them a little deeper, out a little deeper, while they get strangled, while they're about to drown. Or y'all, let me tell you something, church. It's very obvious down through the years you've launched out into the deep. But I got some good news. It's a getting deeper. Yes, sir. Hear me preach tonight. Oh, listen now. Business has got so used to the usual, the unusual scares them to death, when actually the unusual ought to be the usual.
Yes, sir.
Did I say that right? I said, business has got so used to the usual that the unusual scares. You've been experiencing unusual stuff here this week. $50,000. Up a little one-way street. Aren't you glad? I'm amazed. I shouldn't be. Who God uses, dear friend. I'll promise you tonight, it's not always the churches that's got the highest steeple and seats 1,000 people. You know what I know? The one, and these guys in the churches every week also. Most churches that I see that does the most admissions is anywhere from 150 or less.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? And I'm glad God can take, God can, if God be for you, you realize you and God are a majority anytime, anywhere, in any situation? I'm about to get happy. I said you and God are a majority anytime, anywhere, in any situation. And I'm glad God can take the small. God, He's always done that. And somebody said, well, dear God, we're in the minority. How are you in the minority when you got God? You and God are a majority anytime, anywhere, in any situation. So I'll say this to you tonight. He said, launch out, Simon. Don't stay where you're at. Launch on out. Launch on out. Are you listening to me tonight? Listen to me tonight. God wants you to launch out a little deeper. God wants you to trust Him a little more. God wants you to put a deeper faith in Him this year than you put last year. And you know what I found out about launching out? I don't get to fish much. I like to fish. I just don't get to go much. But where I deer hunt at, you say, would you shoot a deer? I'm not only shoot a deer, I mean that guy right over there eat him. He's going to bring me some deer jerky. I'm telling you one thing, that man knows God sitting right over there. Y'all listen to me. But here's what I started to say to you tonight. Here's what I found out about fishing. Most of the time, how many like to go trout fishing? Y'all be some good trout streams around here. Where I deer hunt out, there's a trout stream. My buddy told me one day, said, Doug, hey preacher, I'm going to go upstream and you go downstream. And when you get to a certain point down there, there's a bend in the creek. And the water is very, very deep. And you'll probably get your limit right there. Now, anybody in this room that knows anything about trout fishing, I went the wrong way. He goes this way because the water's running this way and the fish is swimming that way. Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. They couldn't see him, but they could see me. Now, I walked down through there preaching, I'm a fisherman. I said, that rascal lied to me. I didn't even get a bite. He lied to me. And after a while, I got down to that deep curve in the creek there. And I saw the old cars that had been thrown over to the side there. And part of them sticking up out of the water. And I began to wade over in there. And it got real deep real quick. So I just threw my line right over in that deep water like he said, do. Listen. They saw the line coming before it hit the water and jumped up out of the water and bit it. That's not true. But it almost was that good. And best I remember, I got my limit right. Hey, you know what some of y'all need to do tonight? Launch out. Launch on out. You've been where you're at long enough. You've seen God do what He's done before. Hey, listen tonight. Are there going to be faith involved? If you trust God this year for the same thing you trusted God for last year, you say, preach, what do you say? Launch out, child of God. Hey, launch out, child of God. I'm telling you this evening. God's not broke. God's not nervous. God's not upset. He's God. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's able. Yes. I'm telling you this evening. Launch out, church. Launch out. Notice the third thing in this story. And by the way, learn to live in the beyond.
Yeah.
I'll deal with that Sunday. Learn to live in the beyond. Those Macedonia churches did what they could. Then it got beyond them according to their power, but then it got beyond their power. And you know what I know? I know if you'll do what you can, He'll do what you can. And I'm working on a message right now on living in the beyond. Huh? You say you've lost your mind. I'm sure I'm enjoying it. Are you hearing me? It sure is good to see it. Listen tonight. I'm not talking about shallow water. Hey, I'm not talking about this here stuff that we can explain and put on the card what you can come up with. I'm talking about launching out into deep, friend. Hey, God's interested in a world that's going to hell tonight. Hey, launch out. I got to hurry. Notice number 3. Look at verse 4. When he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net. Your Bible don't have an S on that, you need to get you another Bible. Let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. That's not what he said do. Listen to me, he dealt with her finances. He dealt with her following. But then he dealt with her faith. He said, launch out, let down your nets. Simon said in verse number 5, never listen to thy word, I'll let down my net. That's one. That's not what he said do. And I'll tell you something tonight. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a net Christian or a nets Christian? Now, I know you're going to give me 0 in English, but that's okay. I love taking tests. When I went to school, I take the same one 9 times. Listen to me. Are you a net Christian or are you a nets Christian? He said, lay down your nets. And I saw my brother back a while ago that goes to Israel. And he said they still do that today in Israel. They have electronic stuff now, but they still launch out those nets. And I'll say to you tonight, he said to Solomon. And by the way, when he said let down them nets, this is Barker theology, but I believe it's true. One of them disciples looked at Simon Peter and said, somebody needs to tell him. We fished all night. And by the way, I don't know if you believe this or not, but I believe it. I believe he went preachers to the very same spot. Anchored down and fished in the same hole where they'd been fishing all night. One disciple looked at another disciple and said, somebody needs to tell him something. They just ain't biting right here. Huh? Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? Hey, listen now. He dealt with their faith. What kind? By the way, look here. There ain't a thing in the world with that kind of faith. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't a thing wrong with that. That's a net. There's nothing wrong with that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith I had almost 50 years ago when I got saved. But I would hate to think about being saved 50 years and my faith still be like that. But we got a bunch of spiritual babies that's been around a long time. You know what some of y'all need to do tonight? You need to bring your little net up here, laid up here on this altar, and say, I'm a going back, not with that net, but I'm a going back with nets. Are you hearing me tonight? And by the way, I know you got to start somewhere. I was trying to remember today. It's been over 30 years ago. Well, it's been 40 years ago. My wife and I started giving to missions. God, through my wife and I, started giving to missions. Mama, you might have been hit me with this. I think our first faith promise commitment was $5 a week. That was about like $100 a week now. And listen, we'd go get a hamburger and split it. We went Bible one. My youngins don't believe a word of that. That's the truth. Huh? We didn't have enough money to pay attention. And God spoke to my heart and said, give $5 above the tithing's never been a problem with me. From the day I got saved and got in church, that's never been one problem to me. I ain't going to spend somebody else's money. They might slap me. Huh? And I'll guarantee he'll slap you if you spend his money. So I want to say that's never been a problem with me. But I want to say that faith promise thing. I remember way back 40 years ago when it started. That was a tremendous, tremendous commitment. Then we went through that year, and then now come the next year. That man of God said, how big's your God? If you trust God this year for what you've got, why don't you trust him for more? Boy, I won't tell you, when I went from that to that, Y'all hear me preach? I'm preaching good. Nothing wrong with that. You got to start somewhere. But that's where you was at last year, honey. Come here a minute. He dealt with their faith. And I'll say to you tonight, it is faith promised tonight. It's not listen tonight. I wonder sometimes, not like what Brother Whittemore said, and maybe the preacher said it. I wonder sometimes we're not giving out of our abundance instead of giving by faith. God been good to everybody in this room. You stand up and tell me God ain't been good to you, and I'll tell you you're telling a story. God been good to everybody in this room tonight. If you come to church hungry tonight, that was not God's fault. And if you leave this place hungry, that certainly ain't God's fault. Did y'all see his plate today? Brother Whittemore, you remember them old 55, 56 Chevrolet pickups? 53 out of 53. And had a 350 engine in it. That thing run 740 miles an hour. Listen to this. They had them standards. You put them standards down in there and then put 1x6 boards, sideboards. This man even eats by faith. He come by my plate today with a plate. It didn't have sideboards, but he so carefully stacked it and so carefully put it. And I wondered why he didn't sit down beside me, but he went all the way to the other end of the building. Hear me tonight. Hear me real good. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that kind of faith. But if you've got that kind of faith and you have that kind of faith, God's wanting to take you to another level. Right. Hey, God's wanting to take you to another plateau. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get tired of where you're at? Do you ever get tired of your spiritual life? Do you ever say to yourself, I ain't accomplishing nothing? Man, there got to be more to it than this. And I'll tell you something, I want to repeat it one more time. If you're here, hallelujah. Nothing wrong with having that. But there's a whole lot wrong with having that when you have this. Whatsoever is not of, is. Hey, listen to me. Faith promised tonight. He dealt with their faith. Hey, start out there. Well, how about that? Nothing wrong with that kind of faith. But if you've got that kind of faith and can have, Lord, I feel God. God is honored when you preach to his people about living by faith. And I want to repeat what I said a while ago. This thing's not about money. It's about your walk with God and your fellowship with God. And you try, oh, brother, just to see him do that. Yeah, hallelujah, man. It makes me want to run to 411 and back. Are you hearing me tonight? Just to see him do it. My wife and I, we live streaming. My wife and I knew I was going to resign the church a couple years ago, 2.5 years ago. I knew I was going to leave. So we built this new house. And when I built that new house, the guy that laid the brick on my house, I made him put a chimney on it. Behind, a chimney. Just a normal chimney. He said, Preacher, why are you putting a chimney on such a beautiful home? I said, I'm going to put a heater in the basement. It's not a stove, it's a heater. Stove's where you cook on, heater's where you get warm by. Y'all have no idea. Hey, difference in heater wood and stove wood too. So, he said, I can't believe you. I said, son, I'm paying you to lay the brick. So he put me a chimney. I found found me a Papa Bear heater to put in the basement. And so I put that in there, and I have a chainsaw. I know you don't believe this. I have a chainsaw that 20 years ago when I was in missions in North Dakota, I got out of the trash can where a missionary threw it away. That's a chainsaw I've had all these years. That's the truth. And got a guy to fix it for me. It's one of them deals, sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. And so I've been wanting a chainsaw. Have y'all priced a chainsaw lately? I've been pricing chainsaws, and I want a 261 MS 261 steel chainsaw. That was a 41 Husqvarna, but I want that steel saw. It's a little lighter. As old as I am, you got to. But anyhow, I've been pricing chainsaws. My wife and I, we went in the store just a week or so ago, pricing chainsaws, and I've been online looking at them. Son, they're about $500-$600. You know that? I went to my home church the other night, and one of the brothers of my church, he's not a preacher, he's not a Sunday school teacher, he just a man that loves God, gives good to missions. He said, "Preacher, I want to see you after service." I said, "Okay." And after service, he took me outside and opened his truck and pulled out a brand new MS 261 steel chainsaw that had never had any gas oil put in it. Brand slam new. He said, "Can you use that?"
Yeah.
Now, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. I don't give the missions to get a new chainsaw.
No.
But I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll throw some handfuls of off.
Yeah, right.
Not on purpose.
Right.
It's not on, it's off.
Yes, sir.
Right. Read the book. And I'm the off. Oh, yeah. You watch him. I'm telling you, you watch him. Unbelievable. My neighbor across the road's power bill is $300. 2 months ago, mine was $74. Last month, it was $84. Am I telling the truth, Mama? I'm about to shout, buddy. I think I'll just step out by faith again. Hey, come here a minute. He wants to deal with your faith tonight. Am I preaching? Somebody's got that right there. Nothing wrong with it. But if you're there and you can be here, there's a whole lot wrong with it. And if you're there and can be here, there's still something wrong with it. He wants to deal with your faith. He didn't say, "Lay down your net." He said, "Lay down your nets." Some of y'all need to come up here and lay them little nets up here on this altar and go back believing God tonight. And I'll say this tonight. If that's where you're at tonight, and that's where God's got you that level right now, that's wonderful. Praise God for it. He's brought you a long way.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Take your little hand, get a hold of the other side of that. Would you turn around and give me that net behind you? If you've got that, he wants to deal with your faith. I said I was preaching on faith promise. If you've got that and can have that, hear me tonight. You say, "Preacher, that is absolutely impossible." You're 100% right. From a human standpoint, it don't make one lick of sense. I mean, when you look at it from a natural eye, it's crazy. But I ain't looking at it from a natural eye. Oh, brother, hear me tonight. What kind of faith you got this evening? He dealt with them about their finances. He dealt with them about their following. Watch out! Watch out! He dealt with them about their faith. Then I want to say, thank you, brother. And by the way, can I say this before I move? Fishing conditions. Fishing conditions may not be too favorable. But when he says drop a net, you honey, you drop a net. It might not look good right now. You may have just got laid off. You may have just got some bills in the mail. Anybody been in the mailbox? Don't raise your hand. All right, listen. Listen. When he says drop the nets, you drop the nets. It's not my job to put anything in the net. It's my job to drop the net. Oh, hallelujah, thank God. He'll deal with your faith this evening. We got to go eat. Number three, number four. I want to say he didn't only deal with their finances, he dealt with their following, he dealt with their faith. But look at verse 6. I'm closing just a minute. When they thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes so that their net break. He'll overload you. Look at the next verse. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Watch, get the outline, I'm done. He dealt with their finances. He dealt with their following. He dealt with their faith. He dealt with their fruit. You say, where'd you get that? Look in your Bible.
Yeah.
Well, bless the Lord, they had so much. The boat began to sink. You say, do you believe that? Well, I just happen to be a believer. What are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about this. Think about having so much fruit at Ridgeview Baptist Church. The Pastor Sexton has to call Brother Fellowship Baptist. I know his name. Brother Hatley. He has to call Brother Hatley and say, hey, Brother Hatley, I've had so much fruit over here and so many people saved. You got room for anybody to be baptized and join your church? He's going to have to call Brother Frazier over in Dayton, Tennessee. He's going to have to call Brother Davis over to on up in Tennessee. Or he may have to call Brother Ledbetter over at Newport. We got some, he may need to call Brother Frazier down in Pigeon Forge. We got some, listen to me, I know that literally is not happening. But I want to tell you something tonight, it really is happening. You just don't see it. Y'all ain't hearing me preach. You just don't see what's happening. You say, well, preacher, we go a long time sometime and nobody gets saved. That's just this part of this church. That's just this department. There's several departments that's tied to this. His fruit about how he dealt with their fruit. Boy, I love this verse. I like what that brother said. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Son, I want to tell you something tonight. When you fill out that faith promise card Sunday morning, God, don't fill it out before Sunday. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the... So wait till I get done preaching Sunday and then fill it out. But when you fill that out, listen to me, listen to me. That's fruit. You may not see that, but that's fruit. And I'll tell you, whatever you put on that piece of paper, God's not unrighteous to forget your work of labor. God's not going to forget you. God's not going to let you down. I'll say this in closing. Of all the years I've been preaching on missions, I have yet, preacher, to have one individual come back to me. Brother Whittemore has been preaching on missions probably 95 years. And Brother Whittemore, have you ever met anybody that actually, truly obeyed God and faith promise and come back and say, God didn't meet my need?
Never.
I've never had that happen.
Never.
Brother Rose, you ever had that happen?
No, sir.
Preacher, you ever had that happen? I've never had that happen. But I've had a pile of them come back and say, you ain't going to believe this. Yes, sir. He dealt with her father, and he dealt with her finances. He dealt with her faith. He dealt with her fruit. Here's my main part. Look at verse 8. When Simon saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. He dealt with their failures. Peter had to be brought to himself before God could ever use him. And can I tell you something tonight? You and I tonight, hear me tonight. You and I will have to be brought. It's not about us. It's not what we do. He dealt with his failures. Peter said, I'm a sinful man. And I'll tell you, it's not what Peter could do, but it's what the Lord was wanting to do through Peter. And it's not what you can do, but it's what the Lord wants to do through you this evening. And by the way, you say, preacher, what in the world made all the difference? They went back to the same fishing hole. What made all the difference? They got so many fish they couldn't put them on the boat. What made the difference? I kind of believe it was who's on board. Are you listening? Yes, who's on board? Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. Somebody come to the piano. Don't start playing, but come up here. I preached to son. You're a wonderful piano player. Don't she do a good job? I watched y'all while I was preaching tonight. I like watching preacher brother while I'm watching people while I preach. I seen a preacher preach other night with his eyes shut the whole time. I guess he thought it was all ugly or something. I don't know what the problem was. But I like watching people and their reaction. I watched y'all when I was preaching tonight, and I got talking about that net right there. Some of y'all's doing like that. When I got talking about that net right there, some of y'all's doing like that. When I got talking about that net right there, some of y'all was doing like that. When my brother over here, myself, started talking about this one,
9 fell out the floor back out. No, they didn't. I'm going to tell you what we need to do tonight. Church, you've been where you're at a year. It's time to believe God again. It's time to launch out. All in the world this pastor right here wants you to do is simply obey God. That's all he wants you to do. And again, that deals with your walk with God instead of money. Walking by faith. The just, is that 4 times in the Bible?
Yes.
Shall live by faith. Yes. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed? I don't know who all comes to this church and who don't come while she's playing. I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to bring your faith promise card tonight and lay it on the altar. And say, dear God, I've been where I'm at long enough. I've been here long enough. I want to launch on out. Are you listening to me, church? Are you hearing me? You ought to bring your faith promise card. If God spoke to your heart, and even if you don't come to church here, you ought to come also. You ought to come lay that card up here on this altar tonight. Say, dear God, whatever it is you want to do through my life, I want you to do it. I want you to do it. While our heads are bowed, nobody looking around, these folk are praying. I wonder who'd raise your hand and say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. I appreciate the message. God spoke to my heart tonight. Pray for me. I see that hand back yonder. I see that hand.